The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What is a good philosophy of Scripture translation? In Philippians 4:7, talking about the peace of God, is it okay to translate it, thoughts and emotions, instead of hearts and minds? Mike Lee and Bob Wilkin will share their thoughts about this today. And welcome to Grace in Focus, the podcast and broadcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society, a free grace organization. Thank you so much for being with us today. By the way, the Grace Evangelical Society is starting an online seminary that will be free for all who maintain at least a B average. You can earn an MDiv degree. For more information, application, or registration, go to the seminary's website, gesseminary.org. Still room in some classes. Students interested in Old Testament survey and Logos Bible software need to sign up by August the 13th. That's gesseminary.org. I'll repeat this at the end of today's discussion, which starts right now. Here are Mike Lee and Bob Wilkin.
Mike, I believe you have a question from Dan.
Yeah, he has a question about Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
However, that's not the translation he is asking about, right?
Right. Yeah. So Danny is looking at the God's Word translation. And instead of hearts and minds there in that passage, it's translated as your thoughts and emotions. So he's wondering whether this is really a good translation.
My basic answer would be no. And the reason why is, my philosophy of translation is that translation into English or Spanish or French or whatever the language is should be equally as vague or precise as the Greek or Hebrew. You don't want to somehow interpret the passage for your readers. And that seems to me what this God's Word translation is doing. By translating what? Emotions and thoughts? Is that? Yeah, that's what they say.
Translating hearts and minds as emotions and thoughts.
Yeah. And that, it seems to me, is trying to interpret for us. The Greek is clearly using the word for hearts, cardia, and mind, nous. And hearts and minds is a perfectly acceptable translation. And then the reader or the preacher who's going to be preaching it or the teacher who's going to be teaching it can then explain cardia is used these ways in the New Testament or in the Greek Old Testament, and nous is used these ways. And then that becomes something that is helpful for the people to understand. But let me give you an example. Some commentators, for example, Bultmann was one of the first, suggested this is a handiadys. Handiadys is where two words are connected with one thought, or one, that's kind of Freudian slip, because I think that's what this would mean here, is thought. Mm-hmm. For example, if you say, I'm good and mad, I don't mean I'm a good person and I'm a mad person. I mean I'm very angry, right?
Right.
And that's called a handiadys, where two words stand for one thing. And in this case, hearts and minds could simply stand for thoughts or inner thoughts or inner convictions or whatever, something along those lines. And that was the view of Bultmann and others who hold this as handiadys. Other people, for example, Fee in his commentary on Philippians suggests that the heart refers to the center of our being out of which flows all of life. But he cites Mark 7:21. Can you look up Mark 7:21? And he also cites a verse from Proverbs, both of which suggest that heart is often used to refer to thoughts. What is Mark 7:21?
Mark 7:21, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders.
So notice, out of the heart proceed these evil thoughts and actions that flow from those evil thoughts or desires. And so heart there is not used for emotions, and it's pretty rare that heart would be specifically emotions. It's more like the inner person. O'Brien, in his commentary on Philippians, says that heart refers to the center of three things: feelings, thinking, and willing. And he said it's basically referring to the whole inner life. And so what we feel, what we think, what we will. I would suggest the best translation is hearts and minds, and leave it up to the people to understand, is that referring just to one thing, thoughts, or is it referring to thoughts and feelings and emotions or our will? It's not crystal clear, but I doubt that Paul, when he was writing this, was agonizing over this. I think he was probably just using hearts and minds to refer to the inner person. And this guard is a word that's used kind of like a military guard that protects. I think it's basically saying God will protect our inner self. The emphasis basically is on our thinking and sometimes anxiety. Some commentators mention the word anxiety here that flows from wrong thinking.
The thinking, the mindset really affects emotions, our anxiety, our, you know, just our mental health and well-being.
I went to rational emotive therapy for a couple sessions years back, and rational emotive therapy is basically this idea that the way we overcome anxiety or, let's say, grief or depression or other things is not by focusing on a Freudian approach and what did your parents do to you and, you know, that sort of thing. But instead, it's a focus on your thinking. What were you thinking when you said that? What were you thinking when you did that? And what this rational emotive therapy tries to do is to get you to realize that your thinking directly influences your saying and acting.
And how would we shape our thinking? Well, what would you recommend as the best way to?
Yeah, the Word of God. Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And 2 Corinthians 3:18 brings out that's through the Word of God. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, that's the Bible, the glory of the Lord, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, are being transformed in the same image by the work of the Spirit. So yeah, it seems to me the way God changes us is by changing our thinking via the Word of God. That's why it's so important, Mike, that we're in solid Bible-teaching churches. If you're in a bad church, then you got bad thinking. And bad thinking is going to hurt you in terms of your sanctification.
Yeah. So I guess the key to well-being is thinking biblically.
Yeah, right. You know, I think in many ways we could say Christianity is a battle for the mind.
And I guess this almost goes back to believe. Believe is what you're thinking in a sense, right? It is what you know, regard as true. And if you believe in Jesus for eternal life, then you have a right foundation to start on a life that's going to be joyful and fulfilling.
Right. That's absolutely right. Not only do we begin and enter everlasting life or the Christian life by faith in Christ apart from works, but we basically grow and advance in the Christian life by believing more and more of what God has said. Now, of course, James 2 tells us that that belief needs to be applied. It needs to be put into practice. We are going to be doers of the word and not hearers only if we continue to walk in the light. You know, 1 John 1:7 and confess our sins, 1 John 1:9. I see God as transforming us, and that being something which is quite natural as long as we're getting solid teaching. That's the key. Take advantage of the solid materials that are out there. Things like I would recommend our podcast or our blogs, our 5 to 8 minute videos on YouTube, Grace Evangelical Society. But that isn't local church. So you need to either find a local church or start a local church.
So I guess guarding our hearts and minds, the Bible is key to doing that, right?
Yeah. What does the verse say? Philippians 4:7. I've got it here. Let's see.
And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Yeah. And the preceding part is be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. But then the following verse says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So when you put the verses before and after this into play, this is all a part of prayer that eliminates anxiety, and it's also a part of mindset, what we meditate on. all the things mentioned in verse 8 come from Scripture.
Right.
They don't come from us just reading philosophers and going, what do the philosophers say?
Yeah. Or feelings, and you know, we need to get back to the Word.
Ultimately, you read the Old and the New Testament. Sanctification centers on the Word of God. Read Psalm 119, 176 verses, and almost every verse in some way or other talks about the Word of God. It talks about, you know, His law. It talks about His testimonies. It talks about His precepts. It talks about His Word. And all the way through, the psalmist is extolling the power of God's Word in his life. It seems to me that's Psalm 1 also. We're walking in God's counsel. We're not walking in the counsel of the wicked. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God abides forever. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away.
Yeah.
And so what Jesus is saying and what the word of God says is eternal.
Yeah, I guess we'll go back to 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
So if we want God to guard our hearts and minds, well, then we need to be people of prayer, verse 7, and we need to be people of meditation, verse 8, people who are focusing on what God tells us. And that, as I've suggested, ties in to being around and fellowshipping with believers who are like-minded.
All right, sounds good, Bill. So let's remember to
keep
grace
in focus.
Grace Evangelical Society is starting an online seminary where you can take specific classes or earn an MDiv degree. Go to the seminary's website, gesseminary.org. Still room in some classes, students interested in Old Testament survey, and Logos Bible software need to sign up by August the 13th. For information or to register, go to gesseminary.org. That's gesseminary.org. Are you interested in finding other Free Grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next episode, very interesting, what about the history of the Eastern Orthodox Church? How did it originate, and what is the difference between it and the Roman Catholic Church or the Western Church? Please join us next time. This is the Grace Evangelical Society. Until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.